They watched each other in silence as the bed slowly calmed. There was a moment's silent contemplation, then they were both grinning lazily. "Was I as good as all the others, Joshua?" He nodded fervently. "Good enough to make you stay in tranquillity, knowing I'm available whenever you want?" He rolled onto his side, disquieted by the gleam in her eye. "That's unfair, and you know it." She giggled.
"Yes."
Looking at her, sprawled out on her back with her arms flung above her head, perspiration slowly drying, he wondered why it should be that girls were always so much more alluring just after they'd had sex. So blatantly rampant, probably. "Are you going to ask me to stay, slap down an ultimatum, you or the Lady Mac?" "Not stay, no." She rolled over onto her side. "But I have other demands." The second time Ione insisted on straddling him. It was easier on his feet, and that way he was able to play with her breasts for the whole time she rode him to their twinned climax. For their third encounter he arranged the cushions into a pile to support her as she went down on all fours, then mounted her from behind. After the fifth time, Joshua really didn't care that he'd missed the party. Dominic would probably have found herself someone else for the night, too. "When will you leave?" Ione asked. "It'll take a couple of months to make Lady Mac spaceworthy again. Maybe three. I placed an order for the patterning nodes right after the auction. A lot depends on how long it takes to deliver them. You know Sam Neves and Octal Sipica haven't returned yet?" "I know," he said grimly. He had told his story a dozen times a day since he docked, especially among the other scavengers and spaceport crews. The word was out now. He knew they would deny it, maybe even say he attacked them. And he had no proof. It was their word against his. But it was his version which had been told first, his version which was accepted, which carried all the weight. Ultimately, he had money on his side as well now. Tranquility didn't have a death penalty, but he had filed a charge of attempted murder with the personality as soon as he docked. They ought to get 20 years. The personality certainly hadn't challenged his story, which gave his confidence a healthy boost. "Well, make sure you don't do anything stupid when they do turn up," Ione said. "Leave it to the sergeants." Tranquility's sergeants were in addition to the usual habitat servitor genealogy, hulking, exoskeleton-clad humanoids that served as a police force. "Yes," he groused. An unpleasant thought intruded. "You do believe it was them who attacked me, don't you?" Her cheeks dimpled as she smiled. "Oh, yes, we checked as best we could. There have been 8 scavengers lost in the past 5 years. In 6 cases, Neves and Sipica were out in the ring at the same time, and in each instance they auctioned a larger-than-usual number of laymill artifacts after they docked." Despite the warm weight of her pressing down on him, that eerie chill returned. It was the casual way she said it, the supreme confidence in her tone. "Who checked, Ione?" "Who's we?" She giggled again. "Oh, Joshua, haven't you worked it out yet? Perhaps I was wrong about you, although I admit you've been distracted with other matters since we arrived." "Worked out what?" "Me, who I am, of course." The intimation of disaster rose through him like a tidal wave. "No," he said hoarsely, "I don't know." She smiled and raised herself on her elbows, head held 10 centimeters above his, taunting. "I'm the Lord of Ruin." He laughed, a sort of nervous choke which trailed off. "Jesus! You mean it?" "Absolutely." She rubbed her nose against his. "Look at my nose, Joshua." He did. It was a thin nose with a downturned end. The Saldana nose, that famous trademark which the Kulu royal family had kept through every genetic modification for the last 10 generations. Some said the characteristic had deliberately been turned into a dominant gene by the geneticists. What she said was true, he knew it was. Intuition yammered in his mind, as strong as the day he found the laymill electronics. "Oh, shit." She kissed him and sat back, arms folded in her lap, looking smug. "But why?" he asked. "Why what?" "Jesus!" His arms waved about in exasperated agitation. "Why not let people know you're running things? Show them who you are. Why? Why carry on with this charade of the research project? And your father's dead. Who's been looking after you for the last 8 years? And why me? What did you mean, being wrong about me?